Let's go ahead and get started. Now, I want to start back in Romans chapter 6 just for a minute to reiterate and refresh our minds. What are we talking about? We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about what must a person do to have eternal life, and is there anything that he could do in order to lose his salvation? And people say this all the time. Well, okay, let's say I believe and I trust Christ and I get the blood applied, but then I decide to go out and shoot my grandmother 42 times. Now, I think that would be an odd thing, but if that's what you did, would you still go to heaven? Yes or no?
Yes.
Why? You've got the application. God sees you as if you've already been resurrected from the dead. He already sees you as being judged, buried, and rose again. He does not see you in your sin. Now, that's hard to take. When I was lost, I wanted to fight that tooth and toenail. Because I'm like, I'm going to have to behave in order to be saved. Why do we think that? Because of Matthew 24. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. And so we get that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in our mind, and it's hard to get it out. But under the blood, once the blood is applied, all God sees is the blood. Well, don't get complicated, Jed. I've got that.
You've got to accept it.
Yeah, you do have to trust it. I mean, you have to believe it. But see, the gift of God is not partial life. It's eternal life. The gift that God gives. In fact, He gives a couple gifts out. I'm going to mention a couple of them. I had this one T-shirt. I wish I hadn't messed up. It was my favorite witness wear T-shirt. It had the picture of Jesus Christ's hand with a stake on it. And it says, His righteousness is the righteousness His righteousness requires Him to righteous. Did you get that?
No.
His righteousness is the righteousness that His righteousness requires Him to require. Did you get that? He can't accept, oh, this person's righteousness is over here and this person's is over here. He has to accept His own righteousness. The only line that is worthy is His righteousness. You all understand? Now, let me say it again so you'll hear it.
His righteousness is the only righteousness His righteousness requires.
Yeah, thank you.
Maybe you should take that.
All right, come on up here. No. But now you ain't been here for 3 weeks, so don't even talk to me like that. Romans chapter 6. Now watch this. The thing is you've got it if you are saved. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but, I love those buts in the Bible, amen? But the gift of God is what?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. Why? Well, look in Romans chapter 5, and we kind of stopped around 10 or 11, I guess. It was 11. We talked about the atonement. Let me read that again. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. When have we got the atonement?
Now.
The blood applied now. The moment that you trust Christ, God applies. I'm like, I want to bring my own righteousness before God and drop it off. Cain did do that. I mean, I want you to think of the picture of Cain for a minute. Abel literally did this. And not Cain. Cain was a real religious person. And he worked, and it was hot in the field, and the plow was getting stuck in the rocks. And he finally cut those furrows in, and he planted some okra. And if you all haven't tried my okra in the back, you're going to love that okra. And he planted okra, and he planted... Huh? You plant all these beautiful plants. And he's sitting there watering them and hoeing them. And he's just doing his whole thing. And it comes the time that God is ready to look for the blood. And you know what's fascinating to me? Abel brings a firstling of the flock. And the fat thereof. Brings a blood offering. God sees the blood. He accepts Abel's sacrifice. Cain puts his turnips up there. And there, you know, Cain was a northerner. You know that right off. No, it was the root. He put the turnip root because you know what? You can't get blood out of a turnip.
That's where that saying came from.
I'm telling you, he was an Ohioan, sure as I'm standing on this stage. Mill people, I told them, do you eat turnip greens? Turnip greens? No way! We just eat the root. Well, Cain was a northerner, and he put that root up on that altar before God. But you know what? Couldn't get blood out of the turnip. Didn't matter how hard he worked. Didn't matter how much he put forth the effort. Didn't matter that he sweated. Didn't matter that he spent his days while Abel was over there watching the sheep. That's good movie pick, you know. And God only accepted one man. You know why? It was the blood that God was looking for. He wasn't looking for how good the person was. Didn't look how much work he was doing. Wasn't looking for all that. I mean, all the way through the Bible, God is looking for the blood. That's weird, ain't it? I mean, yeah, people think that they can bring their good works and lay them down there. You know how many are good? There is none good. No, not one. Now, see, God's a southerner. You can tell by that language. Go to Genesis chapter 4. It wasn't that Cain didn't put more effort in. Who put more effort into their sacrifice? Cain did. He worked his tail off. Fingers to the bone, as they say. He was working by the sweat of his brow while his brother Abel sat on the side in the leisure of the shade tree. God wasn't looking for that. God was looking for the blood. When was the blood applied? It's all about the blood. Yes?
You think that perhaps blood is more of a final thing, the finality of blood? You know, like the plant is a renewable thing. You know, he tills it. In other words, it's not a total sacrifice. You know, you give the fruit, and the fruit goes back. And if you kill the sheep, the sheep is dead. You know?
Yeah, it's like that joke about that pig. And guy was walking around with a pig with three legs. Said, how come your pig's only got three legs? And he says, well, it's just a shame to eat a pig that good all at once. You know? That is true. There is a finality to that death of that animal. You all understand? They were seeing in the death of that animal what they really were. And by the way, that's a good point about the plants. I hadn't thought about that. But it renews its own self.
Right.
Life is dependent upon the Lord. Pretty interesting. But go to Genesis chapter 4. I mean, this isn't complicated to see. If you're having a hard time seeing this, it's because you don't want to see it. Verse 3. Genesis 4, verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no what? And that's exactly like what's going on today. People today, God is looking for the what? The blood. And you know what? If you get up there and it's time for judgment and you haven't got the blood, God is not going to have respect for you. He's going to feel exactly what he felt for Cain for you. And Cain didn't end up in the kingdom, boys and girls. He landed in the land of Nod. Now, I'm just telling you that he went out and was banished outside of the kingdom of God. You say, where is the land of Nod? I don't know. Y'all understand? I don't know. But I know it wasn't in the presence of the Lord. God didn't put up with it. You know what? You want to get in the presence of the Lord? You got to have the blood. You got to have the blood. Say, well, I trusted Jesus Christ. That doesn't make me want to go out. Oh, well, that makes you want to go out and plant turnips, doesn't it?
What kind of mark do you think it was that God put on?
I have no idea.
Maybe it was the 666.
Probably. I don't know. You know, I don't know. There are just some things I don't know. Go to Romans chapter 5. There are some things I do know. That the gift is not only eternal life. The gift of God has to do with righteousness. He is giving you His righteousness. You that have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you that believe that Christ died for your sins, you that have believed that, God not only applies the blood, gives you eternal life, but He makes you His righteousness. In Romans chapter 5. Look in Romans chapter 5 and read with me in verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. By the way, who did one man do? That was Adam. One man was Adam. And what entered into the world? Sin. And death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Yet the effects of sin still work, didn't it? The wages of sin was death. Guess what happened to all those people, even though they had no law? They died. You know why? The wages of sin is death. You want to know why an infant dies? Sin. Not sins. He didn't go out and smoke marijuana or puff a cigar. That little six-month-old baby or three-month-old baby that died, died because that baby was born in sin. You with me? Now watch this. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Mm-hmm. Even over them that had not sinned after the similitude, that is, the likeness, similitude, likeness of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the what?
Free gift.
This is something you're not working for. You don't work for gift. You don't work to have it. A gift is given to you. You don't deserve it necessarily. It's not a debt. It's a gift. For through the offense of one, that would be Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is one man, by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Now watch this. Skip down to verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, more they which receive the abundance of grace. Now watch. And the gift of what?
Righteousness.
The gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. That is, this person here has received the what? Free gift. What is included in that free gift? Eternal life.
Atonement.
Righteousness.
Justification.
All of these things are applied through this free gift. When was that person receive a free gift? Say, well, once you receive the free gift, that's it. I mean, after you're saved. I mean, don't you then have to live for the Lord? I mean, couldn't you lose your salvation if you went out? Well, let me show you, this is really hard to swallow. I know it's hard to swallow, but it's the truth. I try to tell people this and they get mad at me. All I'm doing is reading the Word of God. I'm not trying to get you mad at me. You know, I mean, it doesn't do me good. You don't put much money in the plate if you're mad at me. But if you love me, don't throw tomatoes. Okay? Here it is. 1 Corinthians 6. Y'all there? 1 Corinthians. Now promise me you're not going to get mad at me. William's over there going, I promise. Well, what does that mean? You're a double crosser. That's what that means. In 1 Corinthians 6, this is what the Word of God says. Listen, I'm not trying to put words in. Listen, it isn't about me or you or anything. It's about that blood. It's about that blood and about the gift of righteousness and the gift of eternal life. You got it? That's what it's about. It isn't about you at that point anymore. It's about the Son. You know, people get the whole thing confused. This is the difference between religion. This person does this. I wear a veil. I try to keep the commandments. I walk the aisle. I want to be the best person I know. I want to keep the law. I'm greater than everyone else. I don't sin like anyone else. I'm trying to be a Christian. This person has a different vocabulary. He uses the word he. He paid it all. His righteousness is mine. I believed in what he did for me. The difference between religion and the blood application is the pronoun that you use for it. I hear people all the time say, how do you know if a person's saved? When they start saying, I'm trying to be, or I'm going to be, or I am this, or I've walked the aisle, or I've been baptized, or I've joined the church, you know what? I know immediately that person's lost. Because a saved person doesn't talk like that. Saved person talks about, hey, it's already been paid for at the cross. He paid it all. You hear the song? Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Me walked the aisle, cleaned it white as snow. No, it didn't go like that. He washed it white as snow. Shannon's like, wow, you can really sing. Look at him, he's impressed. Wow. Now, I knew these two when they were buck-kneed, and they're all grown up in buck-tooth and knock-kneed. Those two back there. They were little stinkers. I don't even know how their parents put up with them at that point. Shannon, you're in Texas now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, how come you didn't come to the Bible class when I was there?
I was traveling for work.
That's not a very good excuse, I don't think. I'm coming back out. They invited me back out. And they said, you know, they had a covered dish like we're having today. And you're going to be traveling again, aren't you? Brother, thank you. Anyway, I make this long trip out there. And I show up, and Gary Simpson's a great guy, and we have about 35, 40 people. I mean, it's really nice, his house set up. Yeah. And so I'm out there, and they have a covered dish. I'm like, you get a covered dish when you come to Alabama. When you go to Texas, what do you think of? Yeah, beef barbecue, man. The brisket whips out, you know. I'm like, where's that? So they said the next time I come out, we're doing a barbecue, Texas style. That would be nice, won't it? So if you want to go and travel with me, you might have a little fun. Oh, isn't that true?
Amen.
Traveling with a preacher is interesting, yes. And? In 1 Corinthians 6, now this is what the Word of God says. Don't get mad at me. Can't help what it says. I'm just going to read it. All things are lawful unto me. Are all things lawful unto you?
Yes.
But all things are not expedient. That is, I can do anything I, as the old saying says, as I damn well please. The problem, though, is the results may affect you. You all understand? You all understand? You got to get the picture. All things are lawful unto you. Well, look at the passage. Come on up in just a minute. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous. If you covet after someone's house, you're not going to get in the kingdom of God. Isn't that what it said? Now watch. Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. Why, you can't do that. Shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. There's that word but again. Underlined it. But ye are what?
Washed.
Going to be washed? You are washed. You see the difference? Ye are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit, and all things are lawful unto you. Why? Because you are justified. You got it? Listen, eternal life is not a concept. Eternal life is the gift that God gives the believer the moment he trusts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. I'm not walking around going, oh, that just makes me want to go out and sin. You know what I do find myself doing? Still going out and sinning. I mean, doggone it, I hate architects. Me and Ron like just alike. I mean, there isn't anything I despise more than an architect. Maybe a used car salesman. But outside of those two things, cameraman with half a foot. But that's it. You go down that place, and it's hard to go through Wind Lakes and look at some of those beautiful houses, honestly, and not say, boy, I wish that one was mine. Yeah.
Do you know Wind Lakes is built on a trash dump?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't doubt that. But you know what I'm saying. It's hard to go in Wind Lakes without admiring some of those beautiful houses. Amen? It's hard to go down Bell Road and see some of those mansions and go, man, that would be awesome. Amen? You know what that is? That's covetousness. You know, you can wear your coverings. You can wear all your self-righteousness. But you know what? God knows your heart. And you know what? You can fake it to everybody. But you know what? God knows who you are. God looks down at you and sees that you're no good and that you're not worth the gunpowder to blow you into hell, and there's nothing great about you. And all he's looking for is the blood. That's all he's looking for. And if you got the blood, guess what? All things are lawful. Why? It's as if you were dead, buried, and rose again already before the Lord. Look what he says. And such were some of you, but you are washed. I'll underline that. You know, all the people say, well, I believe you ought to keep the commandments. Said sinners can't get into the kingdom of God. And they quote this verse 9:10, but they skip verse 11. You know why they want? Because you don't know what verse 11 says. If you read verse 11 to them, said, I understand. And you read them 11 and 12, and they would just shake their heads. You see, your eternal life isn't based upon you and your actions or you keeping yourself saved. Why, the Bible says, look in Ephesians. It says you're sealed. Boy, am I having a great time up here. I'm working hard. I hope there's some good food back there. I'm going to eat a little bit of all of it and complain later. I've overeaten. Those young people at the Bible class in Kentucky, they don't believe in like protein foods. I have never seen on Monday night, anybody's got available Monday night to go, you ought to go with me. Those people believe you can live off of sugar. I mean, they had the most delicious strawberries I've ever seen. Now, I mean, they were like slap your mother-in-law strawberries. You know what they did to those doggone strawberries? They dipped them in chocolate. Like that. Oh, there's people here that are naughty. I can tell you are sitting, you're coveting those strawberries. But I put one of those in my mouth, and I'm not kidding, the juices ran down the side. And I thought to myself, that'd be some of these people who think they're self-righteous eat that and think they're okay. And I knew right away when I took that first bite, it was sin. You know what I mean? Now, I didn't confess it to everybody. I kind of laid low about it a little bit. I'm confessing it now, though. My conscience really been bothering me since I ate that one. I'm kidding. Ephesians chapter 1. Now watch this. Verse 12. I was going to repeat it. I'm not going to let you down. I'm trying to be the best Bible teacher I can be. Amen. I got a long ways to go, but I'm working on it. Maybe in the next 30 years, kind of like Brother Moore, I'll start to have it down. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were what? Sealed. God put the seal. It is as if the king laid his mark. Have you all ever seen those envelopes that the kings wrote back in the old days? And my great artistic ability will allow me to do this. And they put a wax seal right there, and they put the king's ring into it, and he seals it. It couldn't be open until, folks, listen, when you got saved, not only did God shed His blood for you, not only did He give you His righteousness, not only did He give you everything you needed to be, but He sealed you onto the day of redemption. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and look where it ends up. There is nothing you lack for your salvation. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all things are lawful unto you. If you want to go out and shoot your grandmother, God will still save you. You know why? Because His blood was already applied. Now, it just makes me want to run out and join a cult. Amen? Oh, come on, guys. Listen. My interest is this book. But let me tell you what, I can't make the book say things it won't. It's like that old song, that romantic song, you can't make her love you if she don't. You know that's true. You can try all the tricks in the trade, but if she don't love you, you can't make her love you. You can't be any more than what you are in Christ. And I'm going to hopefully show that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, read with me. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of what? Redemption. Hey, you can't lose it if you want it. Why? Hey, if you lost it, it wouldn't be eternal life. Romans 6:23. Amen. You wouldn't be sealed. God would have had to lie. All things wouldn't be lawful unto you. The reason all things are lawful unto you is why? You're sealed unto the day of redemption.
And only He can break the seal.
And you know what? There is going to be a day when the shout comes and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the only ones that are going are the blood applied. They're going to ask, God's going to ask everybody, do you have a ticket? You know what the ticket looks like? It's the shed blood of Calvary's cross. That's the ticket. Say, He's not going to ask, were you a good little boy? Did you behave yourself? What was it that you did so great? He's not going to ask that. He's going to ask, do you have the ticket? The ticket is the blood. Now let me ask you a question, because we're not talking about religion, and we're not coming down to all this garbage that everybody walking the aisle and crying and boo-hooing and feeling bad for your sins. When was there a day, listen to me very carefully, when was there a day in your life that you could stand up and testify right now today that it was a day that you remember and that God knows and you know that there was a day when you had the blood applied to your life? Can anybody tell me their day? It didn't happen over a period of time. Listen to me, boys and girls. You're not evolving into Christianity. When was the blood applied? It happened one day, one time, once done. It isn't like I hear people say all the time, well, I don't believe in one day. Well, then you're lost. When was the blood applied? You know what God didn't do? God didn't take the blood and just smear it and you finally got it. There was a day when you know you were covered by the blood. Who else? Who has a day? Yell out a day.
February 4, 2010.
I don't know the day, but I know the time.
June 6, 2003.
I mean, you know. Hey, listen, it isn't a wonder or a guess. If you don't know, you're lost. If you don't have a date, you're lost. Hey, but can't you learn this stuff? Yes, you can learn rightly dividing until it all comes to down. But God isn't going to let you go into heaven because of rightly dividing.
Right.
Anybody else got a date they want to shout? All right, anyone else? Date. And if you haven't got it, how do you know? Settle the matter. Settle the matter. You're not sure? Why would you go out of these doors and walk away unsure, doubting or wondering whether there's anything? March 7th, 2010. Somebody else on the internet send me their date. When was there a time? You know, guys, I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm trying to show you how you can have the blood applied and have the peace of God that passes all understanding applied to your life and never have to worry whether you're going to be saved again.
Everybody remembers their wedding day.
They do.
Remember that day if there is one.
That you got the gift of eternal life?
Well, most people. For some people, it's multiple days.
That's true. But you know what? Most of them remember the multiple dates. You're telling me you can't remember? There was a big debate of this up at Bible camp. Remember that back years ago? The question is when was the blood applied? You know what God sees when He sees me? He sees the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And His shed blood. That's all He sees. He doesn't see me. Thank God. Amen?
Amen.
Man, I'm glad. I'm a flawed human being. But when was there a time? And if there had never been a time, you know what I would suggest is making today the day of your salvation. You know all the facts. Amen? You know it all. What is the fact? Christ went to that cross and died for all of your sins, shedding His blood. And if you will receive that right now, right here, whether you're on the internet, whether you're seeing us via archive, whatever it is that you see us, you could trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now.
Amen.
You know what? That's the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. All things are lawful. You know what? You were all those things. But you're now washed. You've been justified. And you're made righteous. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and we'll end here today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. See, eternal life is the ability to be saved. That's why Paul says you are saved. You know what? I don't walk around wondering whether he's going to come back and get me. I'm not wondering that anymore. I'm at peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. You know, I'm at peace. I'm like... It's like this. Woo-hoo! That's what it's like. I have not a worry in my life. Wake up, it's a bad day. Doesn't matter, I'm not going to hell. Yeah, you know, I tell my wife I'm a piece of crap. All the time, don't I? She said, I wish you wouldn't say that. I am, I'm a piece of crap. But here's the good news. I'm going to heaven when I die.
Amen.
Nothing can stop it. Nothing. You're having a bad day? Whoopee. Here's a bad day. You have a bad day, lost, go to hell. Ooh, bad. That bad. Bad day, not good. I want you to see something about... Hold on to 2 Corinthians 5, we'll come back. Just go to Isaiah. We never use enough Old Testament. So go to Isaiah. And go to Isaiah 66. Verse 23. And for all eternity, this is what's going to happen if you're lost. Verse 23. Isaiah 66, verse 23. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcass of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be abhorring unto all flesh. For all eternity, people are going to walk by the lake of fire, and they're going to see your loved ones, and they're going to hear this. Ah! Ah! Oh! And their worm won't die, and their flesh won't cut, and they'll be screaming in all eternity, and people will walk by and say, who are these? And God will say, those are the ones that have transgressed against me. That wouldn't take the blood and apply it to. They wouldn't do any of those things, whether it's Israel, whether it's the Gentiles, whether it's the church, the body of Christ. And for all eternity, everybody will look upon your carcasses for all eternity, screaming for releasement. And you don't think God will do that? Go back to the story of Cain. The one son he had respect for his offering because there was blood, but the turnips had no blood. You can bring all the works you want before God, but if you've got the blood, God ain't looking at your sorry rascal anymore. He's looking at his precious, lovely, beautiful, gracious son, Jesus Christ. It's really that simple. So, let's get all the myths out. There's nobody going to be confused about the myth. There is no multiple dates of salvation. Amen? You're not growing into it. It doesn't matter if you were a child developed up in the grace movement like some of these back here. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you wear a covering or you don't wear a covering. Doesn't matter whether you keep the commandments or you don't keep the commandments and you're just a slut and a whore and a whatever else you could be that is filthy. Doesn't matter. God is looking for one thing. He's looking for the blood of His precious Son. And you know what? You can't escape that. You can hide, you can go, you can be whatever you think you can be. You can act any way you want to act, and you can do all that you think you can do. But you know what? God right here, right now, knows where it is. Make no mistake. God knows. You with me? God knows. You are not fooling God. If you're not sure, and you wondered in your mind, and maybe in your mind you've been wrestling over this thing, you want to get the thing settled? Well, right now you can settle it. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to raise your hand. All you have to do is believe it. And I wrote this simple song right after I got saved. All you got to do is believe that Jesus did it all for you and me. Totally paid the price, isn't He? Gracious and nice. That all you got to do is believe. Sing it with me. All you got to do is believe. Jesus did it all for you and me. Totally paid the price, isn't He? Gracious and nice. That all you got to do is believe. That's it. Right now, if you're not saved and you want to be, just let go of your hands right now and just relax. Inhale. I use a wheelbarrow illustration Brother Morton once showed me. Fantastic wheel. And there's that Grand Canyon and that cable pulled across that Grand Canyon. Everybody shows up and the guy gets out there about a third of the way and everybody gets excited. Get excited. Woo! Oh, come on, that's real excitement. I'm a third of the way. I'm back up. How many here believe that I can do that? And everybody's screaming.
I do.
Yeah. If you really believe it, then get in the wheelbarrow. Once you're in that wheelbarrow, all of a sudden, there is a difference between belief and trust. You got it? Everybody believed he could do it, but when did you get it in the wheelbarrow? When did you get the blood applied? That one moment, one time, it happened in your life. And if not, it could be absolutely today. Why would you walk out of here lost? Why would you want to be one of these people that are going to be hoarding onto all flesh for all eternity? Why would you want that? When it's already been done. Everything for your salvation has been provided you. It is a gift. God is offering a gift. And yes, once you got the gift, if you want to go out and murder someone, you've already got the atonement. You've already got the righteousness. You've already got the blood. You've already got all that. Could you do that? Could you kill somebody? Say, well, I could never do that after I was saved. Hey, let someone rape your daughter and see if you have the attitude the same. I bet you could change your attitude just a little bit. Say, well, I would never do that. Well, don't say you would never. You know what I've learned? Never say never. And that word never really haunts you just a little bit. So be careful about that word. And you know what? Next week we'll probably discuss the other side. You know, we talked about eternal security. I'm going to show you where they had no eternal security and what happened there. Buddy, it ain't nothing. I mean, you do not want to live in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right, I'm done.